sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Pro-Life America Podcast. Hope you guys are doing great.
Hope everybody is safe at home. And things are starting to open up.
Yeah, people in California have kind of mixed ideas about that. It was trending on Twitter.
It is indeed a risk. I mean, we've all got to go back to work. We've got to go back about our business at some point. But I'm telling you, if we open this thing up again and we start trying to get back to whatever the new normal is going to be, and then all of a sudden this thing spikes again, starts taking off again, and they shut down things again, it will be 10 times as bad as it was.
Of course, there are some people who are thinking that it isn't as fatal as it was originally purported to be. And I'm not sure we're really fully going to know too much about the reality of what coronavirus is for years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any idea about that. But to be honest with you, I don't think that all these so-called experts know that much more about it than what we do. This is new territory for everybody.
Yeah, like you say, we've been drinking out of the fire hose.
Right. That's exactly right. Anyway, just hope everybody's safe and
not going crazy.
Well, that's the nice thing about you, for example. You didn't have to worry about going crazy because you went into the deal crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't get any crazier than you were, or that I noticed anyway.
If I got crazier, it would be real noticeable.
But then again, you live with my daughter.
That's true.
And if that doesn't drive you crazy like it
does,
did me and her mother.
There's moments. Right. I have flashes.
Right. Well, anyway,
I haven't wound up on cops yet, so we're okay.
Right. Yeah, right. You haven't gone postal yet.
Yeah, I haven't gone postal. We've got a great subject for you guys today.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, one of the things we said when we started this podcast is that we wanted to bring an insider's look at this issue so that people understood. There's a lot of misconceptions out there among people on our side and on the other side too.
Or things that are just counterintuitive.
Right. One of the things we're going to talk about here today is, or what we're going to talk about here today.
Cha-ching, the money.
Is the money issue here.
I really wish we could play the song Money by Pink Floyd right now. That would really be the icing on top of the cake.
Yeah, well, we can't.
I could sing it for you.
No, thanks. I've heard you sing before. My nightmares are down to about 2 a month now.
So. Hey, I've heard you sing, so.
Well, anyway, the thing that I don't think people have thought about is this. Right after abortion was made legal in 1973, just within a year or so, there was a study done, I think it was funded by the United States government, to see how the actual implementation of legalized abortion was being handled. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they looked at was what was the cost, what was being charged. The vast majority of abortions are done in the first trimester. What was being charged for the average first trimester abortion? And nationwide, even though it would vary a lot, you have high-cost areas like New York or California versus low-cost areas like Mississippi or Alabama.
You mean stuff might actually cost more in California and New York?
Yeah.
Wow,
I wonder
shocking.
Why. The average cost turned out to be somewhere between around $300 to $350 was the average cost for a first trimester abortion.
Around 1973,
right? In 1973 and 1974.
What would that equate to today, cost-wise? Because
I did an inflation calculator online with that, and it would be over $2,000 today.
Wow.
But the interesting thing here is, and what people need to be paying attention to is, the fact that right now, nationwide, the average cost of a first trimester abortion isn't any different than what it was in 1973.
So around $300 still.
$350 to $400 is still the average price of a first trimester abortion.
But everything else has gone up. Gas,
and
milk.
Especially in the medical community. Inflation in the medical community has been
astronomical.
Considerably higher than what it's been in the general population. So the question then becomes, why has the abortion industry not raised prices on abortions to keep pace with the inflation? Because they're having to pay people more that work at the abortion clinics. Their supplies cost more. Their rent costs more. Everything else costs more. Why haven't they increased the prices?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question.
And when you look at it, you have to look at it from a marketing standpoint because it's a product.
Yeah, it's a lemon of a product, but it's still a product.
It's a product. And the rules of economics apply in the case of abortion, just like they do in everything else. And as you know, my background is in marketing. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that when you have an industry that is not able to raise its prices, that industry then starts taking a look at that and saying, why is it that we can't raise our prices? And to give you an example of how the abortion industry has looked at that, we've got a tape of Warren Hearn, abortionist in Colorado, speaking at a National Abortion Federation conference about this. And he said at that time, when we try to raise our prices just $25, our patient load plummets. Well, this is a problem for them. And the question is, why does their patient load plummet?
For only $25.
For only $25. In a marketing environment, what you have to look at is whether your product, the product or service that you're selling, is marginal or non-marginal. And what that means is the decision to buy that product or service marginal? For example, the analogy that I always make is between buying an ice cream cone or buying a forklift.
Or for more millennial terms, an example of that might be buying an Xbox.
Okay, whatever.
Versus paying your rent.
Yeah, but let's take this on a more cerebral level here. If you own a company that uses a forklift in your warehouse to deliver your products, and your forklift breaks, you have to buy a forklift.
Yeah.
If you say, I think the price is going to be $12,000 for a new forklift, but you go to look at one and it's $16,000, you're still going to buy it. Because if you don't, you're out of business.
Yeah.
And in the marketing environment, that's called a non-marginal decision. You have to buy that so it's not as price sensitive. But if you decide you want an ice cream cone and you think, okay, I'll pay a dollar and a half for an ice cream cone, but you get down there and they say, oh no, it's $6 now for an ice cream cone.
Because you're in California.
Yeah, whatever. You'll leave.
Yeah.
Because that's a marginal decision, whereas the forklift is non-marginal
There's
decision.
There's a price you're willing to pay for a certain object.
Right.
And if it exceeds that, you don't want it so bad anymore.
Yeah. But if you have to have it, then it's a non-marginal decision, and it's not as price sensitive. So if your product or service that you're selling, if you determine that it's very price sensitive, then what you know is that it's a decision people don't have to make. Now, when the abortion industry comes out here and says, and we know that very often their own behaviors and actions expose their rhetoric as a bald-faced lie.
They claim that women need abortion. They'll walk through the Sahara Desert to get abortion.
They'll go through hell on broken glass to get an abortion.
Abortion is necessary, is what they always shout.
But then they can't raise their prices for 50 years. That exposes what they're saying as a lie.
Yeah.
And when Warren Hearn says our patient load plummets.
Just
$25. For $25. What he was talking about was his state was considering adding a requirement that they have to do sonograms even on early trimester abortions. He said that'll cost us about $25 per event. Our patient load will plummet if we add $25 to it.
Well, if you look at any time they fight abortion regulations, it usually comes down to money. Like one of the most recent abortion clinic regulations they tried to put in there was very sensible things about making sure that the hallways were wide enough to accommodate a gurney for when women have to go to the emergency room.
Right.
Things like air filtration systems so that bacteria is not overwhelming these environments, just like any other clinic and any other environment would be expected to have.
Or a vet clinic.
It comes down to those very basic things. But they fight them because that means more money that they have to invest into their operations and less profit for them.
And more money they have to charge for the abortion.
And they can't afford to raise the prices, so they don't want to lose money.
They can't afford to do it because the patient won't pay it.
So basically, it comes down to money over women every time.
So what they're saying is, when they say, we haven't been able to raise our prices for 50 years, basically. What they're saying is, we're lying when we say
that abortion is something that women are just lining up for.
Like I said, they'll walk through hell on broken glass to get an abortion. So they're lying. And of course, they lie about everything. But this is an easy way to see that their own behavior and their own actions expose their own rhetoric as a bald-faced lie. And this very often happens. And this is going to be a constant theme that we show on this podcast in other areas. But this is a very interesting one because you remember, you're not old enough to remember, but during Watergate, the Watergate hearings.
No, I wasn't around during Watergate.
Right. Okay. Well, during Watergate, one of the people that testified was John Dean.
Who was John Dean?
Well, he was an attorney. He worked for the Nixon White House.
Okay.
But anyway, John Dean was making all the financial arguments about what happened at Watergate. They were asking him about why the financial part of this thing is important. And one of the things he said was, look, in any environment, if you want to figure out what's going on, follow the paper trail.
Follow the money.
And he said, if you follow the paper trail and you understand the paper trail, then you'll understand most environments. Well, that's true here. So if we follow the paper trail, and they've got this argument out here that women just die if they don't have abortions, but we can't charge them an extra $25, so if we have to maintain our same price for 50 years, then they're lying. They're telling you an absolute bald-faced lie. And the interesting thing here is, since we started Life Dynamics in 92, there were 2,126 freestanding abortion clinics in America. Today, we're down around 500.
And you see some of those clinics that are operated by Planned Parenthood are merging. They're making basically mega centers.
Right. But the point here is that these pro-aborts always complain that there's like 88% of the counties in the United States don't have an abortion clinic. Well, the reason for that is, contrary to what even a lot of pro-lifers think, they're not profitable.
If there's not any demand for it, then it doesn't matter
just
that they're
think
not
about,
there.
Think about this. When LASIK surgery came out, It was extremely expensive. All of a sudden, though, there were a bunch of people who saw there's lots of money in this, so they started opening up these LASIK centers, and there's still a lot of them in business, But the price came down, Supply and demand.
Yeah.
But the fact is, there are a lot of LASIK eye centers out there because there's money in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's profit to be made. If the price had plummeted to the point that it wasn't profitable and you couldn't increase your price to accommodate for inflation, Nobody would be opening them. Let's say you had a way, if you're in the abortion industry, and you had a way to take the average abortion from costing $350, $400, $500, something in that range, to $4,000, there'd be an abortion clinic on every corner.
Oh, yeah.
The supply would create the demand in this particular case.
Well, here's a really good question for you. If abortion is such a limit of a product with very limited demand, why not give up on abortion? I mean, Planned Parenthood could get all these grants. They could get a lot more public support.
Right.
It'd be less controversial for them. It'd be way better for them as a whole if they just got rid of abortion.
Right.
But they refuse to. They'll sacrifice everything else that they say that they do for poor women to hold on to abortion.
Because it's a political thing more than anything else. And they're trying to sell this idea that if women don't have the freedom to kill their own babies, they don't have freedom. I mean, it's a bastardization or a perversion of the term freedom and liberty to say if you can't kill your own offspring, you're not free.
Mm-hmm.
This is garbage. You know, if you go back to the early feminists who were all pro-life and said this is something that'll profit sexually irresponsible and sexually predatory males, and that's being played out every day.
Yeah.
And they've kind of staked out this position that they can't get away from. But the abortion industry early on thought this was going to be a great moneymaker. And so they staked this out. This is the cornerstone of women's liberty and women's freedom. And
it's
now
so
they
sad.
Can't get away from it.
It's like the
it.
People who bought into the Beanie Babies and now have a whole bunch of buckets of little furry right. creatures that are worth nothing.
Worth not even what they paid for them.
I remember back in the day, oh, it's going to be a collector's item, right? And people had shelves in their house for them, and they're worth nada.
And they're in the garage right now or in the attic.
Collecting moths.
Right, and they'll never be worth more than what they are.
But I think to some degree that desperation and holding on, I think the reason why they offer other services is to give them shelter or cover as a healthcare provider, when really they have no interest in those other things. It's just abortion that they want, and it's more political than financial motivation.
Well, let's also understand something. Whether these people realize it or not, they're doing Satan's work on earth. And as Scripture tells us, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities. Abortion, I think that's the thing Satan loves more than anything else. It allows him to kill the thing that means the most to God.
Mm-hmm.
The new human life that he creates, kills it at its most vulnerable point where it's totally defenseless. These people are doing his bidding, and they're not even smart enough to realize that's what's happening. But that's part of the reason that abortion has this position among the hard left in America, the communist in America, the Marxist in America, these hard left feminist organizations. It's the Holy Grail. They can't get rid of it. I'm sure that a lot of them wish they never started this and had put their
they
efforts.
They never gone down this trail, yeah.
Yeah, but now they can't get away from it. And the proof of this is when you look at the financial records, like from Planned Parenthood,
mm-hmm.
we think in the pro-life movement, oh, they make all their money off abortions. They don't. They make their money off birth control pills, off treatments for STDs, and there's a lot of other things that they make a lot more money on mm-hmm. than they make off abortion.
I think to some degree their efforts, like with sex education, is designed in the hopes that they can create more demand for the product of abortion.
Yeah, when one of their products fails, the other product profits.
Mm-hmm.
So when their low-dose birth control fails and their sex education system fails, their abortion business goes up.
Or you encourage young kids to have sex, and then your demand for STD treatments or STD testing goes up.
Right, yeah, and when you look at their financial statements, that's where the money is. STD treatments, birth control pills, that's where the biggest profit centers are at Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think the problem that they've got is they've staked this position out and they have no way to get away from it. But the fact is, if they could make abortion profitable to where they could go to the mainstream medical community and say, hey, you can make a lot of money at this. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't get left with the washouts and losers of medicine. And that's what they do get left with. And even some of their own people admit that that's what they get.
Well, I think the reason why they get washouts and losers is not just because of financial aspect, but because of what abortion is. You can't sit
there
and take life day in and day out and then not take a physical toll on you.
Right.
I mean, the chapters that you wrote in your book, Line 5, about that are incredibly eye-opening. It really shows that abortion is almost like something you'd see in a science fiction novel, that once you touch it, like, it just corrupts and destroys everything around it.
Starts decaying,
Yeah, and the abortion industry is a really macabre,
bizarre
environment to work in.
Yeah, right. Well, even though our own people will say that, and we've interviewed a lot of them here.
There was one quote, I don't remember which publication it was in of ours, but it was from an abortionist who works part of his time as an abortionist and part of the time as an OBGYN. Mm-hmm. So he was going down the hall at one point trying to help women save their babies and make sure that the babies came out healthy and alive. And just down the other end of the hall, he was taking those lives.
I know the one that you're talking about, and he was talking about how intellectually challenging or something it was that he's going into one room and killing babies that are 18, 20 weeks in gestation. And as soon as he's done with that, he's got a turn to do down at the OBGYN ward where some woman's got a troubled pregnancy and she's 18 to 20 weeks and he's trying to save her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the dichotomy in this was overwhelming.
You can't rationalize that.
And that's why the abortion industry, when you look at the people that work in these abortion clinics, and I'm talking about the abortionists, the other workers are people that they get off the bottom of the personnel file.
Sometimes they'll even manipulate and distort the truth and lure people in there to work.
Well, we've had a lot of those that we've talked to. And if you go on to YouTube and look at that interview we did with the three women at the abortion clinic in Houston, you can tell these are not the cream of the crop.
Yeah, the video is called Babies Born Alive Daily.
Born Alive Daily, you know, and being killed daily outside the womb.
Yeah.
But you can tell by listening to those three women, and they're typical abortion clinic employees.
And they're people with no medical training.
But what I'm talking about is the abortionist himself. Mm-hmm. What you find out is that they are the washouts and the losers of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, and let me underline this, nobody goes through the rigors of a medical education,
mm-hmm.
becomes a physician to go to work in an abortion clinic. It doesn't happen. This is what they get relegated to. You can even find quotes from some of these people where they say that. I remember one quote that we used, I think it was in Access, where this guy was talking about his father was a doctor and then he became a doctor. And he said he lost his practice. He couldn't get malpractice insurance. He was a bad doctor, whatever. He said, I'm relegated to doing abortions. He said, in my father's day, if you were the doctor who couldn't get his practice going, then you wind up working for the prison system and you've been a doctor at a women's prison or at a male prison or whatever, but that's where you were relegated to. But nobody went to medical school to become a doctor at a prison system. That didn't work. It didn't happen.
There are other quotes and access from people who work in the abortion industry that says, you know, when you run a clinic, you're trying to find an abortionist. Most legitimate physicians don't want to work
in
these clinics.
Touch it.
But the ones that you do find, they're not great, but you're like, well, it's either this or nothing.
That's what we got.
So you just rock the what you have.
Right. That's what you got. And I think it kind of relates to some other subjects. We've got the report out right now on women being raped in abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people that have done this
are
still working.
Yeah, they're still working, if you can believe it. And no other medical setting
would this
be tolerated or this be found.
But I guarantee you what's said behind the scenes is, if we raise a ruckus about this and we get this guy thrown out, who are we going to replace him with?
Yeah.
And so
because doctors don't want to come in here.
But the fact is, there'd be enough of them that if you made it profitable,
they might overlook it.
They might overlook that. There wouldn't be this going from almost 2,200 freestanding abortion clinics to 500 like we have now, and that number continuing to go down.
I think what they're looking at for the next wave of abortions is the telemed abortions.
Well,
they're really trying to push that, because not only does the doctor not have to deal with the emotional aspects of that and some of the nitty-gritty of abortion, but if you can sit there over a computer screen for 5 minutes and tell a woman to take a pill and then get on the phone call with another woman for $200 to take a pill, that's more profitable for them.
That plus federal funding of surgical abortions. I mean, they've been pushing that for years.
And during this Corona deal, they were trying to push back restrictions on RU486 abortions and telemed abortions.
Right. You know, one of the things that when we first started looking at this financial thing,
mm-hmm.
and them only being able to charge $350, $400 for abortions,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we discovered was that insurance companies that do pay for elective abortions, which most of them don't, but the ones that do, a first trimester abortion that a woman can walk into an abortion clinic and buy for $350 to $400, they're being charged $3,500 to $4,000 to $5,000 for that same abortion. Mm-hmm. That's what would be happening if all abortions were paid for by the federal government, which a lot of these people have said that's what we want to have happen because they're trying to solve this problem of mm-hmm. not being able to raise prices.
Well, and two, when you have it in insurance plans, in order to make those insurance plans more cost effective, you basically have to have everybody get the same coverage, which means you get a whole bunch of people paying for abortion coverage who will never, ever
wouldn't consider it
get abortions.
Right, right.
It's like gift cards for them. It's money in their pocket.
And it insulates them from the stigma mm-hmm. that keeps them from being able to raise the price of abortion.
Does the insurance industry benefit at all from covering abortion?
Absolutely. And that's something, another one of these financial things that goes on in the abortion industry that most people don't pay any attention to, just like the fact they haven't raised prices in 50 years. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies and some doctors profit from abortion even when they don't do them. That's a thing that we need to talk about. That's another topic. That's another whole show.
Yeah.
So very shortly, we'll do
something
another.
Something to wet your whistle for, guys. Right. Get you keep on coming back here, right. Listening to our podcast.
We will do that show here, maybe the next show.
Maybe.
If something didn't come up.
And also in the meantime, if you haven't already, I strongly recommend that you read Siege. We talk about right. challenges and issues facing the pro-life movement as well as the abortion industry, and money plays a big role into that. And right. so if you haven't, go read Siege. We'll have a link to buy it in the description. And in the link, you're given a special offer of $2 off, so make sure you buy it from that link.
And again, John Dean was right. Follow the paper trail. Mm-hmm. If you understand how money works in any environment, then you understand that environment. Mm-hmm. And most of our people don't.
Yeah. In Siege, you wrote, in every war, the aggressors will try to justify their actions on the basis of some noble cause. So in the case of the abortion industry, it's
saving women.
Saving women, right?
Right.
But if you peel back the layers of the onion, what you will inevitably discover is that their real motivation was financial. It may be in the form of gold or silver or land or diamonds or oil or anything else men covet. But the unavoidable fact is that throughout human history, almost every war ever fought was over money.
That's right.
And that sums up abortion
right.
to the T.
This war is being fought over money. Mm-hmm. And we're better off when our people understand how that money flows. And so let's do that show on insurance companies and doctors. Maybe even our next show, if nothing new comes up, we'll...
Yeah, we'll keep you posted on when yep. that comes out, so y'all be looking for that.
Right.
And if you haven't already, make sure you leave a review of our podcast on some of these platforms like Apple Podcasts. It really helps people to discover the podcast and spread this information out to even more people.
Right.
So we really encourage you guys to do that.
Yeah, that would help us out a lot. Anyway, well, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Nope, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops.
Taking names.
Right. Well, we'll see you.
Changing the culture.
We'll see you next Thursday.
See you guys next time. Thank you for listening.